So this is where they keep the illegal aliens, huh? Oh, welcome, officers.
Welcome to the guys who stood around while people threw hockey pucks at us?
You're gonna come up here talking all that Make America Great crap, you're bound to catch a face full of Canadian tomato.
You're listening to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
So what are you going to do here? Go for the hat trick?
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening.
Words can stab as deep as night and cut like a razor comb. Bitter air and winds of spite like the cold of a winter storm. Leaves may fall on sleeping ground, but the wind sweeps them away. Like hurt lovers in the final round, what once was is now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Big show for you tonight. No NHL news, though. Obviously, if you follow Sportsnet, TSN, whatever, they have all that news. You can go find that there. But we've got a pile of other stories tonight as we bring in Jenna. Jenna, how are things? How's the whole week going for you?
You know what? It is going well. It's been stressful as per usual, you know, the same old school. But other than that, loving the weather, would like some rain so I can stop watering these plants every day because I already killed them, I think. It's fine. But yeah, no, you know what? Doing well, kind of.
I hear that. It's been a busy week as well, but, you know, things are moving along quite nicely. I'm going to start with a weird story tonight, I think, because we need to talk about it, because it's going to have implications on what happens out there. And I know you have thoughts on this story, so we'll talk about it. In a weird twist of fate, it seems like Alberta is destined on being Canada's worst province when it comes to anything pandemic-wise. I know we haven't talked about COVID forever, and it's been great that we haven't had to talk about it, but in a stunning move on Wednesday, Alberta removed quarantining for all positive COVID tests.
What? Why?
I know what Jason Kenney's trying to do, a.k.a. get reelected, but it went further than that as well, in that there will be no mandatory quarantining for any close contacts of positive tests. There will be no contact tracing to find out if anybody else has been in close contact. There's no testing going to be done whatsoever on any citizens now unless symptoms are severe, and there'll be no masking needed in transit. It's almost like Alberta has gone back to pre-COVID-19 days and said, that never existed. It never happened.
Yeah, a little stressful considering I need to go out there eventually. My friend and I were talking about it earlier, and we call them the Florida of Canada right now. I don't understand. Like, even when they opened everything up, like, that was right before we loosened our restrictions, I think. But they literally went from, like, having complete lockdown to, like, bars open, everything, as their numbers were already high, which clearly has not been working for them. So I don't really, like, I don't know. I don't get it. Oh.
See, my concern, and I don't disagree with you. I mean, they are the Florida of Canada right now. My concern is that with vaccinations not being mandatory for university attendance out in Alberta, with that not having to be disclosed and or made mandatory, this poses a huge risk for any athletes going to play or basically anybody that's going to be connected to any sort of U Sports team this year that'll play an Alberta team.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's just, I mean, most of the athletes that I know have been, obviously, again, do what you got to do. If you don't want to get it, just do you, I guess. But I don't know, like you just said, that's a huge risk. If one person has it and they're flying everywhere, one, their whole team is most likely going to be affected somehow. And then the other team, like, it just doesn't seem like the right call. I don't know, like, I know we talked about it before, like the NHL, for example, obviously they have the money to do so, but they are very strict with, like, COVID stuff. I know my friend was dating someone that played on the Oilers, and, like, they couldn't see anyone. Like, they were very, very, very strict with it. But obviously, you know, they have more money to do the COVID test, whatever. But when it comes to university, like, that's so risky to leave it up to, like, half these kids are 18. You know what I mean? At that age, are you making the best decisions? No. Even if you are, like, even if you are vaccinated, I don't know. I don't like this at all.
I just think it's foolish in that. And I'm not saying, again, I trust the fact that if you're going to university, if you're going to a school of higher learning, you probably have some faith in science being real. So I'm okay with that side of it. But I have real concerns that if there are people who refuse to get vaccinated or don't want to, or, I mean, again, like you said, it's kind of a choice in terms of what's going on. I have real concerns about them being allowed to participate in close quarters with any other people if they choose not to, because a vaccine isn't a guarantee not to get it. It's simply a way to prevent serious illness. You can still get it, which means that if there's no contact tracing and there's no required quarantine, if you're even next to somebody and you come home to say Manitoba, if you come home to say to BC or to Saskatchewan from any of those teams that are going to go and play Alberta teams, you could bring it home and not know where you got it from.
Even then, when it comes to, like, the asymptomatic, like, if you don't have symptoms but you have it, so you go play Alberta, you get it, come home, but you don't know, and then you're going somewhere next weekend, and then, you know, somebody else gets it, and I just feel like that's going to cause, like, a huge outbreak within U Sports.
But it doesn't even have to be an athlete. It could be a restaurant. It could be anywhere in Alberta now. It doesn't matter where you go. And that's the thing, is I look at this and I go, you could have a hotel maid who's making beds and stuff or whatever, and you come into the room after they're done or whatever, and oh my gosh, now you have COVID. Like, I'm saying that whatever Jason Kenney is planning on doing out there, this needs to end right here and right now, and be honest with everybody. We made a mistake. We can't do this.
Yeah.
Like, this is insanity. This is what I can't describe it any other way than an insane rule or insane set of rules that is going to literally going to put people's lives at risk.
No, I agree. I mean, every time we talk about it, I get a little bit fired up just because I don't know. Okay. So when COVID obviously first started, my dad was very sick. So I was very careful after that. I was always very careful just because for me, it's about, if I get it, obviously that sucks, but it's about giving it to other people. Right. And half the people out in Alberta, like, I obviously have some friends out there, like, everybody's just going out doing whatever. Yes, they're double vaxxed, that's great, but what if, like you said, those people that aren't, you go to a hotel, somebody was sick but she needs to work, then you're gonna get it. It's just, I don't like that. And then you're gonna bring it home to your family or whatever. I don't know. I'm fired up right now.
I don't blame you. I know you're going out there for school eventually, or at least have, you know, might have to go out there for school eventually. It seems like this is, I don't know, it seems like this is completely illogical in every sense of the word. So I hope Alberta's okay, because this is going to be ugly. But let's hope that, you know, the four hockey teams for sure are participating in vaccinations and getting vaccinated, and we won't have to worry too much about it. So,
I mean, obviously, yes, get vaccinated. But even if they, for some reason, can't or don't want to, as long as they're at least careful about it, you know what I mean? Like, they're not going out partying and mingling with everyone. Like, that's my biggest concern, because I know sometimes if you play on the Saturday and, like, you stay the night, sometimes you'll go out and, like, have a couple drinks or just hang out, as long as they're being safe with what they do, because again, they're young and, like, this is their time off. I don't know, I don't like that. And like you said, I have to go back there I think at the end of August maybe, and, like, I was so excited to go be able to see my friends, and now I'm like, I don't want to see anyone if that's what it's going to be like.
Well, I mean, assuming your friends are all, you know, vaccinated, it should be okay. But again, it's one of those things where you have no idea now. You don't even know who has and who doesn't, because they don't have to get tested. Like, that's the thing, is you don't have to get tested out there, even if you're showing some symptoms. So if you're feeling, you know, just a little off or whatever in terms of, you know, I don't really feel like the greatest today, you know, you got a bit of a cold. No, you could have COVID and nobody would know.
I know. That's like, obviously, I've had a lot of COVID tests. A lot of them were just me. I had, like, a cold or something, but I still was, like, I knew. The one time it was, like, strep throat, and I've had strep throat so many times. I knew exactly what it was, but I still was, like, I'm going to go get a test. Just, like, I'd rather be safe. You know what I mean?
Right.
But not that, a lot of people aren't like that, and they were only getting tested because they needed to in order to, like, do things. Whereas out there, like, everything's already open. And so if you're, like, oh, I don't have to get tested, I'll just, like, stay home, see if I feel better, and then you or not even stay home. Like, I'll just, if I don't feel better tomorrow, I'm going to go or whatever, because they have, there's so many thoughts going through my head, I can't even.
So, but this is happening in at the end of July. So let's just say it's starting August 1st. I mean, again, it's the end of July. It's virtually over. But let's say August 1st. And let's say we start seeing numbers start just escalating in Alberta. But again, we may not know, because if they don't do testing, we won't know the full ramifications of it. But let's say the numbers go up. What's to stop U Sports from saying, we can't participate. We can't send teams to Alberta now. There's no chance of us doing that. Their insistence on being whatever, open, quote unquote, open, whatever that means to them, their insistence could shut down everything again for U Sports.
Yeah.
Everything else, the AJ, you know, the Alberta Junior Hockey League, WHL, all of that stuff, all of it could be shut down again because Alberta has to be stupid about it.
Yeah. Even like other provinces, like obviously people are predicting, you know, a third wave. Will it be as bad? I don't know. I don't even know what wave at this point. Obviously I'm not a scientist. I don't know anything, but even then, if you have people traveling to Alberta and from Alberta and there's no requirements there, like it's going to spread to other places. And obviously it spreads pretty fast, especially if we're like opening up a bit more and then people are going out and they don't know that this person was sick because they didn't have to, like, it could mess up a whole lot more than just U Sports too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree. This could be at the beginning of ground zero again in Canada in terms of where that's starts.
A lot of players that are going there. It's not like one or two people. Like,
nope.
I mean, and then not even in U Sports, just people in general that are from Alberta or going to Alberta, you know, like, I don't like it. I don't understand the logic.
Well, I mean, I don't understand it either. Let's hope that Alberta's got a better handle on it than we do. Than we're perceiving it to be, because we're going to need them to be if everything's going to open up and if everything's going to go back to somewhat normalcy. We need to make sure that four of the four provinces are somewhat normal with their numbers as well. And hopefully Alberta can figure out a way to manage that. Because
yeah, you even know what their numbers have been, but I can't imagine they're great.
Right. This just seems like lunacy all over again. But I do want to say, speaking of lunacy, Canadian women are lunatics when it comes to winning medals. Congratulations to all the medal winners so far, aka the Canadian women who are over in Tokyo. Huge showing by them. I do want to mention, though, and I think this comes down to, and again, it'll relate back to hockey a little bit, but the whole Simone Biles thing. I know we talked about a little bit about this, Jenna, before the show, but the whole Simone Biles thing and people giving her crap about pulling out of the gymnastics competition due to her mental health and stating that it was a mental health issue. I feel like not only is she justified in doing that because, hey, I mean, that's her health, right? I mean, she's got to be able to do whatever and be happy about it. But I feel that we in Canada are just as guilty as American fans are of Simone Biles, because we put that same pressure on kids every single year with the World Juniors. We put that on pressure, you know, that pressure on every time somebody wears the Canada jersey for, you know, a hockey competition, a hockey tournament. And beyond that, we do that some more than others. We do that sometimes in our daily lives with our own kids, with our own teams, with, you know, where winning becomes sort of the tunnel vision and that's it's gold or else. And I feel that this is a good time to step back and reflect not only on what Simone Biles is doing, Naomi Osaka as well, in terms of her battles in tennis and talking about her mental health in tennis, but really a chance for Canada to step back and go, are we doing right by these athletes by demanding gold medals? We don't expect them anymore. We demand them. Like, the expectation is always that we're going to be in the final for hockey competitions, but we demand gold or else. And that, to me, is an unrealistic expectation moving forward, because there are superpowers in hockey now. It's not one or two countries anymore. It's 5 to 7 countries that could win a gold medal in every competition.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And, like, I know we talked about it a bit before, but even when it comes to, like, NHL and stuff, it's the same thing. Like, everybody just like freaks out on them, and I'm like, I get it, it's a sport and you want them to win, but also these are people, and like the stuff that, you know, you're posting whatever online, will they see it all? No. But it's mental health, like that's so hard, and for her to come out and do that is also huge, like Simone, because obviously she knew she was going to get some backlash on it. She's representing her country, whatever. So that had to have taken something. But I think a lot more sports need to take a look at that. Even like we talk about hockey being, you know, a business before they care about people. And for me, it's like, that's great. I get it. It's a sport. And yes, it's their job. They're all great players. But when it comes to mental health, like it's never talked about within hockey, really. It's getting better. But I don't know.
We heard this week swearing in of the new Governor General as well. Mary Simon is Canada's 30th Governor General. She said in her speech that one of her goals was to make mental health as socially acceptable as physical health, in that we should not, that the stigma around mental health needs to be removed and be accepted as much as a physical injury. Mental injuries, mental health is just as important. I don't disagree with her, but I think that it starts with us recognizing that, like, these are hockey tournaments. They happen every year, every single year. I get that we should, you know, hopefully try to win every year. I mean, you want to see them win every year, but they happen every year. There's going to be another gold medal handed out next year. If we fall short, it's not the end of the world. Canada doesn't need to light the world on fire because we ended up with a silver or a bronze or worse. It happens. And I think we really need to start assessing that a lot more. I mean, like you were saying, though, you know, in the NHL where guys take to social. I mean, I'm as guilty as the next person in terms of, you know, of getting on a guy for a bad play or getting on a guy for you know, a dumb pass or anything like that. But at the end of the day, we really need to separate. Okay, that was a bad play from a hockey player. It wasn't the dude is completely, he's a great guy. Like, we can't start making these attacks personal on these players or making these expectations larger than life, because at the end of the day, that's their job. It's not who they are. It doesn't define them. It's not going to be their legacy in life.
No, I 100% agree with you yet again. And I think like the Ethan Bear thing when he like messed up the pass or whatever.
Yeah.
And like the people, like it turned to like racist stuff. Like even for that, like I get it. Like even like you said, we all, you know, they make a bad play, you get a little frustrated, but it gets super out of hand a lot of the time. And I get it. It's frustrating. You want them to win, but I don't know. Even I know we talked about this also before, but Lindsay McAlpine, the coach of the Griffs, was very good. Like the last year I was out there, and I know that she's still doing it, made mental health like a super important thing. Like we had access to a free sports psych where we could just like go if we whatever. And we had like team sports psych meetings. I think it was at least once a month. And then we also like, we were allowed mental health days, like no questions asked. If you just were having a day where you needed something, you just say, hey, like I'm going to take my mental health day today. Like, and that was that, which I think a lot more teams need to start doing, because even if it's not so much you're having like a mental health, like obviously everyone struggles with mental health in their own ways, but like even if you're just like, you need time to be a human once. Obviously, yes, university different than the NHL, like it's not your job, whatever, but it's still like it is a lot of pressure all the time. And I know the NHL, like they have days where they can take that too, but it's just more teams need to start recognizing that, like obviously, yes, at like pro level, that's your job, that's fair, but also like you are a human, you know what I mean?
But I mean, at the end of the day, you're saying, you know, university is not your job. Technically, it is your job, though. If you're on a scholarship, you have to fulfill X, Y, and Z to get your scholarship. So you're playing for your university career, basically. So not saying it's a job as in, you know, we think about, you know, employer employee. But at the end of the day, though, just like an NHL player, you're playing for a contract, basically.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's fair. And even if you don't have a scholarship, you know what I mean? It is. Yeah, you're playing for a team, whatever. And like you said, it is kind of like a job. Like you go to school all day and then you're at the rink all day and you have like one day off, which is Sunday, to do whatever you want. Other than that, like all you do is school and hockey. So no, it's not really a job, but it is technically, even if you don't have a scholarship, it is similar to a job. Like that's right. What you do. You know what I mean? And yeah, Lindsay was super good for that. Like it just started the last year I went out there, and I know that they're still doing it, but that was like a huge thing, just because even playing games, like you get frustrated about something and then it's in your head, whatever, just going and like you sit there and just get to talk to someone about it and let it out without making it like, so you're not bringing it to every single game. And like that was when my dad was sick, so it also helped with that kind of stuff, you know what I mean? So huge props to Lindsay for that, because it was just like nice to know that she understands, you know, mental health is important. You're not gonna do well if you're struggling mentally.
Well, I mean,
need to recognize. I'm sure a lot of other teams have some similar things, but I never had that growing up. Even obviously, mental health has always been an important thing, but it wasn't talked about even when I was younger in sports like that much. It's definitely getting bigger, but it needs to be like, it needs to change.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head though, is that we've always been told, me included, seems like you included as well. We've always been told, based upon our era of playing, that it's part of the game, right? Like, you need to deal with the mental side of it. You know, you got to get out of your head sort of idea, right? Like, that's been something we've been told growing up, something we've been told while we're playing sports, something that we're told, you know, as we progress through life. Get out of your head. You know, you're in your head. You got to get out of your head sort of idea, right? Now, we're seeing, as you said, sports psychologists really treat that as being a way to work through stuff so that people aren't having these complete shutdowns when they're on the big stage, for example. And I think that's the important part, is that not only are we recognizing now that mental health is a large portion of the game, not only, you know, for university athletes, for, you know, for younger athletes, for professional athletes, but for everybody, mental health is a big portion of life, let alone just the sporting world. So I think it's right. I think the statement by our new governor general is true, that we need to start taking the stigma off that, because it's something that more and more people are seeking, and certainly more and more people are finding at least good ways, hopefully, to resolve some of those mental health issues that they're facing.
No, again, I'm just gonna say I agree with you. Like, obviously mental health is something that once you start talking about it, it becomes a little easier. But like growing up, it wasn't so much like getting told to suck it up, but it's like playing sports, you're told to just, you know, go do whatever, and that's, you don't really know any different, right? Same with like physical injuries. If you can play through it. And then I don't know, I've struggled with like mental health my entire life, but I didn't start talking about it till I want to say the year that I went back to Edmonton and I started talking to the sports psych. And even now, like, it's still weird for me to talk about, because my entire life I grew up just saying like, suck it up, which is like crazy, because it should be treated. You know what I mean? Like, everyone struggles at some point in their life, which is huge. But yeah, like, it messed up with hockey. Like, I was so anxious about other things. I'd go on the ice and just not do anything properly because I was so anxious, until, you know, we started getting more, you could talk about it. Lindsay was like, if you need to talk, like, which is great. And like I said, I think a lot more teams need to just open up. Obviously people need to open up about it as well, which is super hard to do, but once you start to do it, like, it makes such a big difference. Like I said with Lindsay, like, I didn't start getting help for my mental health until I talked to the sports psych, and that was because Lindsay realized that mental health affects a lot more than just, obviously it was about sports, but it's also about life, right? And yeah, with the hockey, like, for Simone, not even hockey, that's gymnastics, but for her to come out and just, obviously the Olympics are a huge thing. You train for 4 years to get there. You know what I mean? So for her to come out and like make that, basically just say, look, I can't do this, my mental health is more important, that's huge. And the fact that people are like bashing her and stuff about it is like, I don't get it. I'm just looking at a quote from her and she just says, I say put my mental health first, because if you don't, then you're not going to enjoy your sport and you're not going to succeed as much as you want to. It's okay sometimes to sit out the big competitions to focus on yourself. It shows how strong of a person and competitor you really are, which, like, I love that because it's so true.
But I think that's the thing, that
I don't look at it like that, right?
But that's the thing though. I was going to say, I think that having Simone Biles as a leader in terms of mental health and certainly, you know, good mental health, having Naomi Osaka, you know, in terms of her experiences, you know, as a mental health advocate as well. I think having these stars that are legitimately at the top of their game come out and say, you know what, I'm good not playing. Like, I got other things I got to worry about. I got, you know, I'm not feeling it today. I think having those stars come out and say that though, really starts to remove that stigma. Yes, there's always going to be somebody that doesn't accept it, because again, people are whatever trained or they've learned that, you know, maybe isn't the right answer for them. But for those specific athletes, this is the right answer. And we need to accept that as being the right answer, regardless of how we feel or how we think, because those athletes are the ones that are going through it. And I think that goes deeper than just, you know, I mean, you look at some of the coaches, some of the people that run, you know, minor hockey, and you just go like, what are you doing to these 7-year-old kids by, you know, telling them that winning is everything and teaching them X's and O's instead of just letting them play. Like, have fun. Like, who cares? Wins don't matter at this age.
Right, but it's been such a thing that wins do matter, you know what I mean? Which it's definitely changing a lot more now. And like you said, obviously not everyone's going to agree because people, whatever, have your opinion. But I just, obviously huge for her to come out. And like that's, it will, if more people start doing that, it will start to change because you need those people that everyone knows that's on that huge platform to do that. It's just like, I hate that she's doing that and people are still bashing her. I get people will not always agree. And it, I don't know. I love that she did it. I just, and I get it will help in the future. I just hate that she has to like read all these nasty things about her just because she's looking after herself, you know?
Well, but
I mean, obviously she's like a pretty strong woman for to be able to do that. But still, if I don't know, I just, drives me insane.
I'm not going to disagree with any of that. I think, again, but I mean, there's all sorts of lessons I think that we're learning now about, you know, just expectations and understanding people better. And I'm not saying that this situation that Simone Biles, you know, is in any way related to the next situation I'm going to talk about, because I think this one requires a lot of internal sort of reflection. But when Marc Bergevin sat down on Friday night at the NHL entry draft and decided that he was going to draft Logan Mailloux, last time I'm going to mention that name on this show ever, I guarantee you ever on this show, but the last time that player when he sat down and said, I'm going to draft this player, there had to have been a conversation that happened. Had to. I'm not saying that it was happening that night or whatever, but it had to have happened at some point before the draft with his scouting staff and possibly with his owner.
Yeah.
But to allow Marc Bergevin to go out there and draft this kid after he said that he didn't want to be drafted, that he didn't deserve to be drafted, to allow Marc Bergevin to do that, Montreal Canadiens have a lot to answer for. And Jeff Molson, owner of the Montreal Canadiens, released a statement on Wednesday, and he basically put it on himself, saying, quote, this decision made in the context of the draft turned out to be instantaneously very offensive to many of you. I understand that you expect more from us, and we let you down. Yeah, you let us down. You let a lot of people down, Jeff. Thanks for...
It's crazy to me that, you know, this young kid is saying, like, I don't deserve whatever, which is, that's huge. I mean, for a kid to say that. And then they just come out and they're like, I don't really care what anyone says. I don't even care what this kid says. Like,
see, but whatever. I have a problem with that statement, though. I have a problem with the statement that the kid made. And the reason I have a problem with that is because would he have made that statement if it wasn't for the fact that The Athletic discovered this about the kid?
Because
this happened in Sweden and nobody knew about it in December. He could have came out in January and said, you know what? Don't draft me. I have a lot of growing up to do. I have a lot of learning to do. It wasn't until The Athletic pulled back the curtain on this story that he came out and, I mean, he took a ton of heat for it, rightfully so, but came out and said, yeah, you know what? I got a little bit of growing up to do. Let me go and work this whole thing out. I mean,
on the other side of that, though, like, he is a kid, and, like, no, I don't think he probably would be saying that if he didn't, you know, get caught. At the same time, when you're that young, I mean, obviously, I would hope that he was in the wrong, but for him to, like, at least admit to it, I don't know. Like, I'm not saying that I agree. He probably wouldn't have said that if he didn't get caught. But at that age, like, I remember being young, like, you mess up and you're like, oh, like, obviously no. This is different. I've never done anything that crazy, but.
Right. But that's the problem, though. And that's where we need to stop rationalizing what this kid did, because it's a crime.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying what he did is right by any means. I'm just saying, like, more so for the statement, like, for him to even, like,
sure.
Again, I'm not saying he would have said that, and I'm not saying, like,
what
he did by any means. Like, I'm not saying he's just a young kid, but the fact that he's even saying that, like, no, again, I don't think he would have said that if he didn't get caught. But even then, like, you read some of the statements that, like, when things happen with, like the Brendan Lipsick, all that stuff that had happened, like, their apologies, you could tell were just, like, they didn't actually genuinely care. Maybe he didn't, but for him to, like, actually be like, look, I don't deserve to be drafted. I don't want to, like, literally just to, like, basically not ruin his hockey career. He did that to himself, but to, like, own up to it and, like, say, like, I don't deserve to do that. I think that is good of him. I'm not saying he's a great guy. I'm not saying I agree he wouldn't have done it if he didn't get caught, which is like kind of a bad thing. But for him to like at that age, especially like when you're, I don't know. I'm not saying he's a good guy. I'm not rationalizing what he did by any means.
No. And I'm not saying that you are. I'm not trying to paint that picture. But
yeah,
again, he came out and he said, quote, from his statement directly, quote, being drafted in the NHL is an honor and a privilege that no one takes lightly. The NHL draft should be one of the most exciting landmark moments of a player's career. And given the circumstances, now, again, he was caught and he was basically exposed. I don't feel I have demonstrated strong enough maturity or character to earn that privilege in the 2021 draft. Again, it takes some self-awareness to admit that. I'm not going to deny that. He certainly knows that. But this is a player that committed a crime, that was accused of a crime, that was guilty of a crime that he basically admitted to because he paid the fine for it. And the Montreal Canadiens had no problem drafting him.
Yeah, that I have a problem with that. Like, I'm not, my little rant was just about him at least owning up to it. Again, it sucks that he wouldn't have done it, whatever. And I do not agree with the Canadiens doing that by any means. Like, I think that that's awful. And like for the statement that they put out, they're like, well, clearly we upset some of you. Like, no kidding. What do you mean? Like, so I don't know.
Molson, in his statement on Wednesday, acknowledged not only the pain the victim has gone through, but continues to go through as well, and said that the Canadiens are, quote, there to support her and her family and respect their privacy. He did not go into detail as to how that support would be fulfilled, but the young woman cannot be treated as a teachable moment. And I want to make sure that everybody's aware of what I'm saying here. This is not a teachable moment for a player. This is having a player knowingly admit that he did wrong, which he's kind of done, but not very well, but kind of knowingly done. This is a franchise now that is acknowledging they did wrong by not only promoting this player, but also promoting the crime that he committed by doing so. But it's about a young lady who is still suffering through the same garbage that went on in December of last year when he was playing in Sweden. She is going through that all over again. And not only is she going through that, but now other women are going through that same sort of re-traumatic event, because the Montreal Canadiens have basically said to this kid, it's okay. Don't worry, it's okay. We're all right with what you did. And Jeff Molson can come out and say whatever he wants now. The only way this gets resolved is through the actions of the Montreal Canadiens and the player that was named earlier in this show. Will reflect their level of commitment to making this right. And if it's just a statement that comes out, the Montreal Canadiens are an absolutely abhorrent franchise. If they go beyond that and they support the victim and they help her out and they contribute to others.
I feel like even then, like, why are you, I get you're putting out a statement and yeah, like, great, you're acknowledging that you support her, blah, blah, but at the same time, like, why? Like, why would you think that you need to have someone so bad on your team that you need to say, they're basically, to me, it seems like not that they're agreeing with what he did, but like the fact that they're just being like, oh, like he did this, we're going to like help her out, like whatever, like we stand with her, but like, hey, we're still going to put him on our team because it's a business, right? Like,
right. There's the answer just, right there. It's a business.
Yeah. And like the stuff that, you know, happened to her, it happens so often. And like, there's been so many changes trying to happen throughout hockey, like all sports and not even just sports, like around the world. And like for them just to be like, oh, like, it's whatever. Like that's.
But what does it say about the Canadiens though, when you're talking about putting a professional women's hockey team into Montreal now? Like, what does it say about the Canadiens if you're talking about the Canadiens supporting any women's hockey or any women's venture at this point? Because those words kind of ring hollow when you hear, oh yeah, we're going to support the You know the best way to support the victim? Don't give the guy who committed the crime a job. That's the easiest way to do it.
It's not like a little job. Like, it's a job where he's going to gain a whole lot from it, and she's going to be dealing with everything that happened, because that's not something you just get over right away. Like, it's kind of traumatizing a little bit, you know? And, like, like I said, you're going to sit here and say, like, oh, we're going to support her, but, like, don't hire him, especially, again, he said he didn't want to be drafted, whatever. Like, why are you still doing it then? Like, that just is like kind of a slap in the face to her, I would say.
How many other draft picks for any team, mind you, but how many other draft picks ever have been commented on by the Canadian Prime Minister? Because Justin Trudeau gave his opinion on Tuesday about it, and he said he was deeply disappointed by the decision, which I don't disagree with. No. Again, I don't know how Mark Bergevin just can't read the room and go, we're okay not selecting this player. We have the 31st pick. There are literally 600 other players we could pick. We're okay not taking this player.
Right. And like, again, this literally leads back to what we talk about probably like every basically week. And it's hockey. This literally proves that hockey is the business. Like, they don't really care about one, the players, but anyone else except for the business, which is
right.
This literally proves it, like 110%. Like, they're like, oh, we don't care. He did this. We're going to acknowledge that he did it. And we're going to just not listen to him. We're going to draft him when there's literally thousands of people in the world that we could draft.
And the thing that kills me is that on social media, people are, oh, you've never made, you know, when you were 18, you never made a mistake. You know, you never made, this is not a mistake. Yeah. I'm tired of people reducing criminal activities to mistakes. It is not a, you know what else is a mistake then? First degree murder.
Right. Mistake. And that's the thing too. Like I said before, there's so much going on trying to like have more like consequences for when this kind of stuff happens, because it has happened a lot and people are getting away with it. And those people that are saying it's a mistake are the reason that that is continuing to happen, that girls are, women are, and men too, it does happen to them, but that they're still experiencing this and having to live with it while people are just the person who committed it. they're just like moving on with their lives, and this literally,
but that's exactly what it is.
NHL team, like, you have so much power, like the whole world watches you, you know what I mean? And you're literally just saying like, oh, that's okay. And then the people that are saying it's a mistake are the people are the reason why like it's not changing, which is so sad.
But I mean, that's what it comes down to. Essentially, we have, the Montreal Canadiens have said, we have no problem with what's happened here. As long as this kid can help us win hockey games, we're willing to look the other way a little bit. You know, no big deal. Not a problem. But again, I look at this and I go, women are not a teachable moment. Women deserve just as much, you know, right, as much belief as anybody else when they've had a crime committed against them. And I'm tired.
And men as well. I know that in there. Yes, it happens a lot more to women, but I will throw in there.
Happen to men and too. Men, right? I'm not going to deny that. But
again, I get. But.
But I mean, this is a reflection of the legal system being woefully terrible when it comes to punishing those who commit sex crimes, for example. We're all likely aware that society blames the victims for a lot of this stuff, and that too needs to change. Again, like the mental health issue we just talked about, we're in such a toxic environment when it comes to sex crimes that we have people out there saying this was a mistake and equating it to speeding tickets. It's a crime. This is a monster crime.
Right. Like, even when I was younger, like, it happened, obviously at the time it wasn't talked about as much. So it happened and you didn't really think anything of it. Whereas nowadays, like, that it's all over social media, the news, everything, like all the time, that this happened and is not okay. And he still did it. It's not a mistake. It's not like, I don't know. Like I said, growing up, it was obviously still not right, but it wasn't in the media as much. It wasn't whatever, like, not saying it was good that people did things like that. It just wasn't talked about as much. Whereas now it's like, it's not a mistake. It's, yes, you're young, you make decisions, but you're old enough to know to respect people. You know what I mean?
But the other thing that kills me is that the flippant comments about cancel culture also got into there as well. And this is the part that just, like, this infuriates me, because it's not cancel culture if what happens to you is a result of your actions. It's not cancel. Consequences are not cancel culture. And people need to start gripping this a little bit tighter, because this is the way of the world.
Yeah.
Everything you do has a consequence.
Especially like in sports.
Well, I was going to say, it's not cancel culture though, because people who have morals didn't choose to share her photo. People who know that this is wrong didn't choose to put her photo into a group chat. People who didn't choose to ruin a woman's life are not the ones that are canceling him. He did it himself. It is a crime, and the consequences of his actions need to be realized.
Oh, no, 100%. And, like, what I was going to say is, obviously it's not right no matter what, but as an athlete, like, you need to know, like, you have a big platform regardless of if people know your name or not. Like, you're not only representing yourself, you're representing your team, your teammates, your family. Like, it just obviously, again, it's still not great by any means to do it if you don't play sports, but I feel like when I went away to university, like, it was drilled in our heads, you know, like, you're not just representing yourself anymore. And for that, it's just like, it doesn't only look bad on him. And the fact that he, like, one, did, again, that's not the only reason I'm saying, oh, he didn't think about it. There's just so many other things that it's not a mistake. You know what I mean? As an athlete, you grow up, you're representing your team. You know that. So it's not a mistake. One, it's illegal. It's, you have right. No morals. That's just, yes. It's gross. But at the same time, like, he grew up, he's old enough, obviously old enough to know that that is not right. It is illegal. Like, he knows that. Plus, you grow up as playing sports and you're like representing not only yourself at that point. I mean, like, there's not, oh, it drives me insane. I could talk about this all night.
I know, this is the thing is, we could pour over the details if we want, but I think the most important thing that, I mean, needs to be said for both maybe you and I, me for certain, I stand with the victim on this. I don't think that this should have happened. I think that this is everything that happened on Friday night regarding this draft pick. should have never come to light, should have never happened, should have never even been considered as being a rational and potential opportunity for this player, because he didn't, as he said in his own words, he didn't deserve it.
And even if he wouldn't have said that, like, everybody knows that it happened, so why would they even still even think about it? Like, even right. if the player right. can, you know, say, like, right. hey, like, I don't deserve this, like, yes, that makes it even worse, but even then, like, why would you want that kind of person representing your team? Why would you want a person that does things like that, that aren't, that obviously only acknowledge it because they got caught, you know what I mean? It just, again, business, baby, which is terrible, but I'm fired up again.
Well, okay, well, we've gone 40 minutes of bad news stories, from COVID to mental health to victim belief, anyway, in terms of what's gone on here, and stupid decisions made by stupid men. But want to go for some quick hits, some fun for to end the show then? Some good stuff?
I need some fun, because otherwise I'm going to go to bed angry.
All right. The U.S. Olympic team has their coaches named. The men will be coached by Pittsburgh Penguins head coach Mike Sullivan. The women will be coached by Joel Johnson. You may remember that Joel Johnson took over after Bob Corkum stepped down weeks before the tournament was supposed to happen in Truro. Joel Johnson will remain on as the head coach going into both the World Championship in Calgary in August, as well as the Olympics in Beijing.
Oh, wow. Yay. I love that.
So there's some good news out of there as Johnson gets in there. For those that don't know, he's currently the women's ice hockey head coach at the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul, Minnesota. He's been involved with USA Hockey, you know, working in camps and everything since 2000. He's been working closely with the U.S. women's national team since 2015, and it's highlighted by leading the U.S. under-18 women's national team to 4 straight gold medals. From 2015 to 2018 in the IIHF U18 Women's World Championship. So lots of experience for Johnson. I think he's a good selection in terms of getting in there. I really don't want to see him do well, just because I don't want to see USA win, but he's a good selection if you're looking for a coach to run the U.S. Olympic team, U.S. Women's Olympic team anyway.
Yeah, he's got a good resume going that way. So obviously you don't want the States to win, but it's good for them to have him.
Speaking of Olympic teams and coaches, one door closed, another one opens up. Announced on Tuesday, the Chinese women's national team, who get a free pass into the Olympic competition just because they're hosting the tournament, they got a new coach. Former Laurentian hockey head coach, Stacy Colarossi, she will move, well, temporarily anyway, will move to China and run the women's national program there.
Oh, that's awesome.
So the Laurentian Laurentian Voyageurs, as you know, we talked about it on the show a little bit about how they canceled their team and basically set the women adrift. Stacy was out of a job, and all of a sudden she's now back and coaching at the Olympics. So from U Sports, she moves into the big stage on the Olympic stage. So congratulations to her.
That's huge. I know we said briefly too earlier, like, obviously she has to have some good coaching to get that position, but that's awesome for, like, just to go from obviously a really good job to doing the Olympics. Like, that's, I love that. Congratulations.
It should be noted she has served as the coach of the U Sports All-Star team that took place in the Hockey Canada Summer Showcase in both 2017 and 2018. She was the bench boss for Canada's entry in the FISU Winter University in 2019. And certainly she's got a little work as an assistant coach. She was assistant coach back in 2011. She won a gold with Canada in 2011 back at the FISU Universiade back then. So she's got tons of experience, which is kind of good. She's got a pile of experience coaching in Ontario. She was assistant coach of the York Lions as well. So she's got, you know, all sorts of credentials to her name. But Stacey Colarossi going to go over and coach China, which will be great to see because it seems like if you need a coach somewhere, you come to Canada with Lisa Haley, former coach of Ryerson, now coaching Hungary at the World Championship in August as well. So if you need a coach, check out Canada.
I was going to just throw in Lindsay again. I'm pumping her tires tonight, but I know she coached Team Australia a bit. So obviously yeah. Canada's got good coaches coming out of here.
And that's good to see in terms of the female coaches. I know that, you know, Sarah Hodges, we were talking a little bit about that with her, you know, trying to promote more women's coaches. Nice to see a lot of female coaches getting, you know, promoted to the international stage as well. That's kind of good. So
just for the women's teams, obviously, like, men's coaches are great. I've had men's coaches my whole life, basically. And don't get me wrong, great, but it's always nice to have a female coach coaching women's hockey. Like, it's just something different about it. So I love that.
Women's coaches, period. Like, whether it's men's hockey or women's hockey, women's coach, female coaches in general are better than none. So that's always good to see. Move to the ECHL. Speaking of coaches, the Iowa Heartlanders, the brand new team of the Iowa, the state of Iowa down there. They are affiliated with the Minnesota Wild and the Iowa Wild. The Iowa Heartlanders now have a coach. Jerry Fleming is going to be the first head coach in Heartlanders history. 23 seasons of coaching experience. Fleming joins the Heartlanders, after 3 seasons as assistant coach of the Berlin Polar Bears in the German Elite League. So nice to see maybe coming back a little bit and getting a chance here. He did help the Ice Baron to the league championship in 2021, so knows how to win, which is always good to see. And I'm sure that the Heartlanders are going to have a good coach in him. He's got a ton of different Florida with the ECHL. He was in the AHL with Springfield and with Oklahoma City. He played, you know, 7 seasons professionally as a forward with both Montreal Canadiens and Fredericton Canadiens. So guy's got tons of experience. Going to be a good guy, I think, in Iowa to get that franchise off the ground.
Yeah, that'll be, like, obviously new teams coming in. They always, the underdog seem to, well, Vegas did okay coming in as a new team. But I don't know. It's good to have someone with that much experience on the bench. Obviously the players have experience, but just in a new program. So I love to see that. We'll have to keep an eye on that one.
I'm going to squeeze in a few other stories here before we get out of here, because there's some fun other fun laughs that we can have here. Calgary Flames are finally going to get their new arena somewhat built, or at least try to build it, but it's going to cost them a little bit of money to do so, as the city of Calgary has capped their spending at a specific amount, as Mayor Naheed Nenshi has said, no more money coming from us. City will no longer pay more than $87.5 million. Nenshi said that there will be some additional cost to the city in terms of roads and sewers and stuff or whatever. The total cost for the city of Calgary will be at $312.9 million and should be capped at that, hopefully capped at that amount. Any overruns that come up new will be covered by the Calgary Flames and the Calgary Flames alone. So the Calgary Flames are actually going to have to pay for their arena now.
It is, like, I mean, makes sense. At the same time, like, it's just funny because, I don't know, all buildings, when you're building them, go end up being so much more expensive. And I guess it's not funny to me. It's just kind of funny because, of course, but I don't know. Suck, I guess.
The Flames are estimated that they'll spend about $321 million. But again, any cost overruns will be covered by them now. So congratulations, Calgary Flames. You got your own arena and you're actually paying for it, which is how it should have always been. But that's just me.
Yeah, I agree. But, I mean, at least they're getting a new arena because their old ones.
Speaking of new arenas, because this is exciting for Manitoba, the Southeast Event Center will now have a brand new arena going into it, as a 2,500-seat facility in Steinbach will be the new home for the Steinbach Pistons when it's finally finished. It's going to connect a whole bunch of different stuff. Once completed, center is going to connect the TG Smith Center, the Steinbach Curling Club, and other existing venues. Big news out of Steinbach for that, because that barn can certainly use an upgrade, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's super exciting. Like you said, their current one needs a little upgrade, and I know we talked about it before, but I know the people of Steinbach, the residents, are super excited about it. I told a guy at work today, and he went on for probably like half an hour about how exciting it was. So
there you go.
It's long overdue, I think, and it's just, they'll at least have a nice place to play out of now.
A little bit of money coming from the government, $9.5 million for that project, as well as province kicking in $7.9 million. City of Steinbach has committed $10 million, and then the Southeast Event Center will fundraise the remaining $15 million in private funding. So a lot of money coming from various sectors of government, but still a large chunk of that coming from the actual business itself. So I disagree that we should be using tax money for that, but at least it's going to serve a community purpose as opposed to just being for an NHL team that has lots of money.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's going to benefit everyone, not just the NHL team that no one else is going to play out of there. So
right, exactly.
I love it. It's long overdue.
Some new sports news. For those that may have missed the draft, at least the second round, or the second day of the drafting anyway, Maddie McCleary, she was a Lethbridge Pronghorns recruit that was scheduled to come in and play this season with the team before they were unceremoniously cut from the university. Maddie McCleary, her brother Riley was drafted by the Pittsburgh Penguins on Saturday in the second day of the draft. So congratulations to the McCleary's. You may recognize that name and may go, there was a McCleary that played in the NHL. That would be Riley and Maddie's dad, Trent. So some good NHL bloodlines right there. But Maddie now going to skate for the St. Mary's Huskies out on the East Coast as well. So she'll be moving out, or she's probably already out there, but out in the Halifax area, she'll be skating for St. Mary's out there. So congratulations to Maddie. Congratulations, obviously, to Riley for being drafted by the Penguins. And congratulations to Dad for having a couple of high caliber hockey players as kids there.
Yeah, that's no kidding. What an athletic family. Also, one little side note. I feel like the East Coast is just, I feel like all of Lethbridge just moved out there, or all of Manitoba's out there also. Like,
yeah.
Some good players out of this.
Yeah, there's a pile of players that went out to the East Coast. So, I mean, hey, Canada West loss is the AUS's gain, I guess, in terms of the number of players that moved out there. Also want to mention that Mount Royal has a little bit of reason to celebrate, as Chris Jerry, one of the former, he's a former Mount Royal Cougar. He signed with the Guildford Flames over in the English Ice Hockey League. He spent 3 seasons at MRU, 19 goals, 27 assists in 68 games. I think Chris's story is kind of important to tell, though, because he played 1 season in the NCAA with Michigan Tech before joining MRU. So he went and played high-level hockey. The key, though, is that he never played major junior hockey. He didn't play in the WHL, the OHL, the QMJHL. He went from the AJHL to the BCHL and then moved into NCAA hockey before coming back home. So, kids, it's not always about playing junior hockey.
Yeah, no kidding. And I know, again, we did talk about this briefly, but I mean, it does happen sometimes, but it's nice to see, like, if you put in the work and stuff, it's going to pay off. So
Chris, Chris has certainly put in the work. Again, 19 goals, 27 assists, 68 games with MRU. He certainly showed that he's got a bit of a scoring touch there as well. So good to see him finding a home over in England, and hopefully we'll keep an eye on his success for this season and report back as to how he's doing. But good to see U Sports producing some solid players going out there. One last note before we get out of here. We got about 2 minutes to go here. If you're looking to play hockey, and maybe you are, maybe you aren't, but if you're, you know, under 18 and you're looking to play hockey and you're a girl, there's an opportunity for you right now, as the female under 18 AAA tryout registration is open. If you want to play for the Avros or for the Ice, if you think you got the goods, if you think you got the talent, they're looking to get things going in mid-August. They need some players to fill out some rosters. They want to find some good players out there. So if that's what you want to do, hockeywinnipeg.ca has got all the details. But if you think you can play for the Avros or you think you can play for the Ice this season, you got the skills, you got the abilities, I would highly recommend filling that out and getting out and getting a chance to get in there, because couple of great hockey programs there in the Winnipeg Ice and the Winnipeg Avros for sure. I mean, Jenna, you've known about these programs forever, and I mean, yes. they are high caliber programs.
Oh yeah, they're huge. And one little side note with that, for all of you people that are like me and, you know, doubt yourself a little bit, if you, you know, have it in your head, you might not be good enough, but you probably are. So just go try out. Just do it.
I mean, even if you don't make the team, again, I'm not saying that you won't. I'm not saying that that's even, but even if you don't make the team, like just getting out there and skating and seeing what, you know, AAA hockey is all about in terms of the, you know, the drills and the expectations of what the coaches want from you. Really good eye-opener for a lot of kids as well. So if you have any interest in doing this, they're looking for people right now, hockeywinnipeg.ca. Again, the training, well, the tryouts will happen in mid-August at the Bell MTS Iceplex. So you have to sort of get registered now if you want to get in there. There's only a few days left to do that. Make sure you get in and do that because honestly, online registration is open until the end of July, which basically gives you like one day.
So yeah, get into that. Like I said, just sign up. Like Teeb said here, like it's a good experience even if you don't make the team, not saying you won't, but you just get a taste of, you know, the speed or what you might need to work on if you do want to play at that level next year. So
the only catch that you need to know about is that the tryout is $100 to go to. It seems like it's a lot of money, but it basically pays for ice time and pays for all the tryout time and all that kind of stuff or whatever. So bit of a catch in terms of a cost, but for $100 you get a chance to go and skate with two of the best, certainly two of the best coaching staffs. I mean, I know we've had good relationship with that, you know, Ashley Van Eglin of the Avros, and she always has high level players coming out of that program. So, and certainly the Ice are starting to see that as well as they get things going. But yeah, I would say like Jenna said, get out there, get out and try, even if it costs you $100 and you don't make it, it gives you a good idea as to what you need to do in terms of being successful at the AAA level.
And you'll be on the ice before everyone else, before your tryouts start, if you don't make it. So
yeah, maybe all get around. Maybe get a head start on everybody else this season. That'll be nice.
Yeah, I think just do it. Ashley's a great coach. Who's coaching the ice this year?
I haven't seen the information yet, but we can dig that up for next show. Yeah,
it'll be someone. They only do good coaches, but I mean, Ashley, I've only played against her, but she's an incredible coach. So
we have a ton of those players, you know, playing for, actually, Julia Bird from the Ice is going to be playing for the Bisons this year. So ton of Avros and at least one ice player. And then there's another ice player heading out to Alberta. University of Alberta's recruited a player from there as well. So yeah, they got some good players and they're developing some good players on the ice program as well there. So in saying that though, we are legitimately just about out of time here, Jenna. Anything you want to say before we get out of here?
No, I don't think so today. I'm normally, we covered everything that I was looking at this week. So
good. Working on a big interview for next week, folks, trying to get somebody to come in that we wanted to talk to for a little bit, actually. His name might not be familiar, but we'll see if we can make him a little bit more familiar to everybody because he's certainly one heck of a person. So more details on that as they come out. Follow us on social media if you want to get any details on that. But with that, folks, we are out of here for another week. Stay tuned for Free Range Radio with Skippy coming up next year on 101.5 UMFM. It's been the Hockey Show. We will see you next Thursday, everybody. Have a good one. You are listening to CJUM FM 101.5 in Winnipeg.
Game on! Game on!